It is good to be here with you this evening. Am I on this time and going? Everything's good? Okay. It's good to be here tonight. Brother Billy asked me a couple of weeks ago if I could come and preach tonight, and I hate to hear that he's feeling bad. I certainly remember him in our prayers. I hope he gets to feeling better very, very soon. But I tell you what, I'm just going to tell you tonight, this is probably becoming one of my most favorite places to come and preach, because you're easy to preach to. You really are. And that's saying something. It really is. That may not seem much like a statement, but doing the work of evangelists over the last several months, sometimes we'll go to some places and it's not so easy to preach. But when people are willing to come to the house of God and willing to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and willing to praise Him, you're easy to preach to. And so I thank you again for the opportunity. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to invite your attention to the Gospel according to Luke. Chapter number 8, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 8. This evening is where we'll be taking the reading of our text. We're going to look at a very, very familiar passage of Scripture tonight, one that I know that you've probably heard preached from several times, and I'm not going to really bring anything new or thought-provoking to you tonight, but something I pray that we'll see through the Word of God that will stick with us tonight. Not only just for tonight, but in weeks and days and maybe even years to come. It's my prayer by the time that we're done with this message tonight, I pray that you'll never look at this passage of Scripture the same way again. And I say that because it's all in light of the things that's going on in our world. And I don't want to start a message tonight in the gloom and the doom and the woes is me's of the things that's going on in our life. But I'm telling you, all you got to do is turn on the news, turn on the radio, open up the newspaper, and there's some kind of bad news going on. Yeah. And things are happening all around us right here. I mean, we just had that school shooting right here in Kentucky, and how sad and tragic such a situation that is. They had a shooting over in Lawler County, right next door to us, and how sad and how tragic that is. And then you go and you can read In the newspapers, you can see all the arrests that are made due to drugs and how sad that is. We went to a house the other day and I had to go with social services, and they were on the brink of taking the children out of the home, and they was trying to find a suitable supervisor for the child because the mother had failed her drug screens. And so they began to go through the family members, and one after another, after another, after another, they all said, "We can't pass the drug test." And I thought, how sad is that?
Amen.
And then when you tell them, well, there's no other alternative but to take the child out of the home, they become very irate. It's the days and the times in which we live, and I often have to wonder and often have to think, why is that? I mean, when we serve a God who is willing and able to listen to our petitions of prayers, why is it like that? And I have to think, and I'm not trying to be mean at all tonight, but I have to think that sometimes I think we just don't go to the Lord and we don't beseech the Lord quite like we should.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And that's what we're going to look at tonight. I always usually try to give a title to the message, but I'm not going to give it to you to the latter part of the message tonight. When I give you the title, you'll know I'm just about done, and I won't hold you very long tonight. Luke chapter number 8, I want to start at verse number 40. If you found your places there, if you're willing and able tonight, please stand with me to read reverence the Word of God together. Luke chapter number 8, I'll start at verse 40. If it be the Lord's will, we'll read through and include verse number 50 tonight. The Bible says this in the Gospel according to Luke, there at verse number 40, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as He went, the people thronged Him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind Him and touched the border of His garment. Immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.
Amen.
And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Let's pray again tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight again, as we humble ourselves before your throne of grace, Lord, we're thankful for the day that you've given to us today, and Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity, Lord, again, to come into your house through this midweek service. And Father, Lord, I just pray for this service here tonight. Lord, I don't know what need is here and present tonight. Lord, I don't know what burdens or desires of the heart may be here and present tonight as well, but Lord, I know that you do. And Father, Lord, I just pray that you're going to have your will and have your way through this service. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us through your word as only you can. And Father, Lord, for the many prayer requests that were made mention here tonight, those that were spoken and those that were unspoken, Lord, again, we bring this before your throne of grace. And Father, we pray that it's going to be your will that will be done. Lord, we pray tonight, especially for Brother Billy, Lord, that he'll get to feeling better and he can be back here with the Jordan Baptist Church. Well, I'm thankful for this church. Well, I'm thankful that that this church sits here within this community, and like she's a light to this community, and Lord, that she's carrying out the commission that you've given to her. So Lord, I just pray that you'll just bless her as only you can. Lord, just be with us tonight as we go through the remainder part of the service. Lord, just lead us and guide us and direct us in all the paths that you'll have us to go. Lord, I pray that everything that is said and everything that is done will bring glory and honor to your name. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask it all tonight. And amen.
Amen.
And amen. Again, I'm not going to be very long tonight. And I know, again, that this is a passage of Scripture that we're probably all very familiar with. And sometimes we take this passage of Scripture and sometimes we'll break it down and we'll look at one instance or we'll look at the other. But what I want us to see here tonight, I find it very interesting to start that there in verse number 40, that the Bible simply says that it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the Bible says here that the people gladly received him. Now, if you'll go and you'll study some of this chapter out, if you'll study a few verses before our text verses tonight, you'll find that Jesus had went to Gadara. And there in Gadara was a maniac that we call Legion. And Legion was a man who was demonic possessed. He was possessed of many devils. And you'll go and you'll read that passage of Scripture and you'll find that he has a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we're talking about a man that the people couldn't do anything with. The Bible says that he cut himself with stones and that he dwelled in the tombs and he cried through the night and they tried to put chains and they tried to put fetters on him. And the Bible says he would break those free and the people didn't know what to do with him. And then it says that the Bible tells us that Jesus had this personal encounter with Legion, and after this personal encounter, that these demons were extracted from him, and the Bible tells us that he was clothed and he was in his right mind.
Amen.
And you know what it did? It scared the people to death. They saw this and they began to ask Jesus to leave their presence, to leave their sight. So when you read and study this, you got one group of people that was anxious to see Jesus go, but then you have this group of people here that is anxious to receive him. And what I want us to see tonight, we're going to look at two specific people. One that we have a name, Jairus, if I even pronounce that right, but we know that the Bible tells us that he's a ruler of the synagogue. So we know that he has a place or a position of prominence within society, and we know that he is a man that is known among the people. And the Bible tells us that he goes to where Jesus is coming. Why? Because he has a daughter that's at home. The Bible tells us that she's about 12 years old and that she's sick. That she's so sick that she's on the very brink of dying. And I think Jairus is going to do what any parent would do. That he's going to go and he's going to beseech the Lord on his daughter's behalf. Now, before I go any further with this, I want you to just get you a blank canvas tonight. And what I mean by that is, if you'll just allow your mind's eye, your imagination tonight to paint some pictures as we go through the Word of God and we try to put ourselves here. I like to do that. I like to try to go in the Scripture and to put ourselves right in the Scripture and to see what the Bible is telling us to make it more personal for us. And I'm going to ask you to do that tonight. Put yourself in Jairus' position. I see a lot of little children here tonight, and I thank the Lord for that. But moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, what if this was your child? Or what if this was your grandchild? And they were laying at home and they were on the brink of death. And you know and you've heard that the Messiah is coming, the great physician, the Son of God, that He's about to come in your presence and He's about to come in your midst. What would you do? You see, I think you would do exactly what Jairus has done. You would go and you would fall before the feet of Jesus. And that's what He's done. Look at verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him.
Amen.
How about us? Do we come to the house of God anticipating to meet with Him?
Yes, amen.
We should. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The Bible also tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So I believe that when the Bible teaches us these things, that when we come to the house of God, we are to come here anticipating being in the very presence of the Lord Himself, the Holy Spirit of God. And the people here, the Bible says, they were waiting for Him and they gladly received Him. Notice this in verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And the Bible says this, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house. Now again, I don't think at all that Jairus is doing this out of a last moment of desperation. I believe in my own heart that he's a ruler of the synagogue. I believe in my own heart he has heard all about the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my own heart he's heard about His great healings and His great teachings. And he knows and he hears that Jesus is coming to where they are and they're waiting on them. And when he gets there, he goes and he immediately falls at the feet of Jesus and the Bible says there that he began to beseech Him. And begin to tell him all about his troubles. What would you do tonight, mom and dad? What would you do tonight, grandma and grandpa? Folks, I'm telling you, I believe that I would fall at the feet of Jesus and I would tell Him all my troubles and all my woes and all my burdens and all my needs. And I believe I would fall before Him and I believe that I would beseech Him. And that's exactly what He did. And He beseeched Him to come to His house to heal His daughter. And so that's where the Lord was going. Then we find, as the Lord was making His way, verse 43 happens. Look at verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind Him and touched the border of His garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. So we find here in these two simple verses, we find a woman, we don't know her name. We don't really know a whole lot about her other than she has a condition. She has this issue of blood. So it's apparent to us tonight that she has some kind of hemorrhage. And not only does she have it for a little while, the Bible goes on to teach us and tell us that she's had this for 12 long years. Now again, you try to put yourself in her position. How would you feel if you woke up day after day after day with the same condition, the same problem, the same disease, the same ailment? And the Bible goes on to tell us that she's gone to physician after physician after physician. And she's spent all of her living trying to find a cure for what is bothering her and troubling her. Folks, I'm telling you, this is something. This woman has been plagued with this issue of blood for a very long time. She has tried all of her means within herself and of herself, and she's gone to doctor after doctor after doctor, and she's sought for medical advice. And I know that we're living in a day and a time that we have far greater medical advancements than they would have back here, but I'm telling you, that still goes on today. Right. Folks will go to the doctor, and they'll tell the doctor their problems, and the doctor will give them a diagnosis, and then maybe they'll go to another doctor for a second opinion, and they get a second diagnosis. Now, can you imagine doing this for 12 years? That's quite a problem. But her problems don't stop there, because the Bible goes on to tell us that she has spent all of her living on trying to get better. That tells us now she's in some financial distress. Can you imagine that? I mean, you just imagine going to doctor after doctor after doctor, and they can't help you and they can't heal you. And not only are you not getting any better, but your condition is getting worse. And now the wolves are at the door, and they're wanting the money for the doctor bills that you spend, and people are calling you on the phone, and they're knocking on your doors, and they're sending you things in the mail, and now you don't have any money. Put yourself in her position. Put yourself in her place. This woman's got some real issues in her life. And because of her issues, again, she hears that the great physician is coming her way. She hears that the Son of God is coming her way. And the Bible says that she goes and she says to herself, if I can just touch. She says, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be made whole. You see, she's got some faith. And she makes her way through the multitude and through the crowd that is there and thronging the Lord. And she touches the Lord. And the Bible says immediately, not the next day or not the next week or not the next hour, but immediately she's been made whole. And what I want you to see here by this is, folks, again, I don't think at all out of desperation did she go. But I think it's because she had faith in knowing that Jesus could heal her of her condition. After nobody else has been able to help her, after no other physician has been able to cure her, after nobody else has been able to relieve her of her circumstances. Now again, I don't want you to overlook this tonight. Now you think about her condition. Day after day after day, she wakes up with the same blood condition, the same hemorrhaging condition. And folks, I'm going to tell you, if you think about this, this would have drawn strength out of her. This would have been very difficult for her to deal with. She wouldn't be able to go the places that she wanted to go because of her condition. She wouldn't be able to do the things that she wanted to do because of her condition. She would not be able to live as freely as she wants to live because of her condition. But she knows that when she goes to the Lord, if she could just touch the hem of His garment, she knows that she'll be made whole of this condition. And that's exactly what she does. And the Bible says here in verse number 46, and Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue, goodness, or righteousness is gone out of me. And the woman saw that she was not hid, and she came trembling, and falling down before Him, she declared unto Him before all the people for what cause she had touched Him. You see, she comes. And as you draw your picture of this taking place in your mind's eye tonight, and as the Lord is there, and as you know that He's there, she makes her way through the multitude and the crowd, and she reaches out and she touches the hem of His garment, and she's been made whole. And the Lord stops and says, somebody's touched me. And basically, the Lord turns around, He looks at His disciples and said, who was it that touched me? And Peter said, Lord, look at the multitude around you. Lord, look at all the people around you. Look, Lord, they're pressing up against you. Lord, how are we to know who it is that touched you? And there she is. And she's not being able to hide from this. And she goes and she falls at the feet of Jesus. And she begins to tell all the people about her problems. She begins to tell all the people about her woes. She begins to tell all the people about the things that's going on in her life. And then she tells them that Jesus has made her whole.
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you today, I don't know what troubles you might have. I don't know what heartache you might have. I don't know what burdens you might be carrying. But I'm going to tell you, no matter what it is, you can take it to the Lord Jesus Christ and you can give it to Him. And I'm telling you, He is the great physician. If you're going through something physical tonight, He can heal you of that. Maybe you're going through something emotional tonight. He can take care of that too. Maybe you're having a spiritual dilemma tonight. I don't know what your soul's condition might be here tonight. I hope and I trust that everyone has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. But maybe you're here. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart about salvation. The Lord can do something about that tonight too. He can save your soul. But what I find so interesting here is that we have two people, a man that we know his name, a man that we know his position as a ruler of the synagogue, a man that has prominence, and a man that has gone before the Lord and has fell before the Lord and has beseeched the Lord on his daughter's behalf. And then all of a sudden here comes this nobody. You see that? We don't know her name. Don't really know where she's from. We don't know a whole lot about her except she's had this condition for 12 long years. But what I find so interesting here is that Jesus spent just as much time with her as He's going to with Jairus. Yes, He was on his way to Jairus' house and on His way to heal his daughter, but He took the time. He took the time to notice her and He took the time to heal her of her condition. Listen to me, folks. I'm telling you, sometimes, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself tonight. But sometimes this old boy thinks, Lord, I know there's a lot of things going on in this world. And I know there's a lot of people that's got a lot of problems and a lot of troubles and a lot of trials and a lot of tribulations. And Lord, I've got this thing in my life and it may not seem so significant compared to all the things that's going on in the world. But it's important to me. And you know what I can do? I can take it to the Lord. And the Lord is just as concerned about me as He is the President of the United States. The Lord loves me just as much as He does any king or any queen of any land. Folks, I'm telling you today, sometimes we have things going on in our life and say, preacher, my troubles or my trials or my tribulations might not be as significant as somebody else's, but folks, they're still important. And what I want you to know and understand, you can take it to the Lord and you can beseech the Lord and you can fall before His feet and you can give it to Him no matter what it is.
Amen.
And He loves you. And He can take care of whatever it is that you're facing and whatever it is that you're going through. And that's exactly what He did for this woman with the issue of blood. And let's read on for just a few verses. Let's start there at verse number 51. And when He came into the house, He suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But He said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. Verse number 53 says they laughed. And they laughed Him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And He put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were what? Astonished. But He charged them that they should tell no man what was done. I find this so interesting today. Do you believe that we serve a God who can?
Yes.
Do you believe that we serve a God who is able? Do you believe that we serve a God that is bigger than any problem that we could probably that we could likely have in our own lives?
Amen.
Do you believe that we serve a God who can heal our nation? Do you believe that we serve a God that can heal our land? Do you believe that we serve a God who can do all of these things if we will just be willing to come and to fall before His feet and to beseech Him with the problems and the trials and the tribulations of our hearts and in our lives? Listen to me, folks. I'm telling you, we're living in troublesome times. We're living in a society, again, that is riddled with drugs. You know what I believe the Lord can do? I believe He can purge it. I really do. But I believe we got to fall before Him. Oh, preacher, I don't know. That drug problem's pretty big. Everywhere you turn and everywhere you go, you see somebody on drugs or using drugs or abusing drugs or selling drugs. Some people just kind of sit there and laugh. I don't know if God can do that, folks. I believe He can. I believe we're living in a nation that has turned her back upon God. I believe we're living in a nation that has turned away from worshiping the Lord, and we're turning to any and all kind of idol gods that we can possibly turn to. But I believe God can heal this land. I believe if we'll humble ourselves, and I believe if we'll pray, and I believe if we'll repent of our sins and call upon His name, I believe He can heal this land. I believe He's a God who can. But this is what I want you to get from this. If you have tuned me out, tune me back in for just a minute. I'm not going to be but just a few more minutes. I want you to see this. Notice what the Bible says in verse 45. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master," what's those next two words? The multitude. The multitude. Now, we don't know how many this multitude is, but I'm going to tell you, folks, when you go and you read the Word of God, how many people did Jesus feed with those fish and those barley loaves? Over 5,000, wasn't it? I don't know how many was there that day, but the Bible's very clear, and paint this picture in your mind tonight. There was a multitude of people there. There was a lot of people there. There was so many that they pressed up against Him and they thronged Him. And Peter said, "Look, Lord, look at all these people. And how are we to know which one it is that touched you?" But Jesus knew.
Amen.
He knew that somebody was there and that somebody reached out in faith. And He felt that the virtue leave His body. Jesus knew. This is what I want you to get. Please tune me in right here. There was a multitude of people, but only two were willing to come. Get that. There was a multitude of people, but only two were willing to come. So what do you mean by that, preacher? Do you think that's the only problems that was in the multitude? Was the two? I don't think so either. I think there were other people in that multitude that had problems. I think there were other people in that multitude that had heartache and heartbreak. And I believe there were other people in that multitude that had desires. But there was only two that were willing to come to the Lord. And because those two were willing to come, what was the outcome? Well, number one, the woman was made whole. And number two, the daughter of Jairus, she lived. All because they were willing and able to come and fall before the Lord and give to the Lord their petitions of prayers. My point is simply this. If we're not willing to come before the Lord and we're not willing to fall at His feet and we're not willing to call upon His name, can we really anticipate and expect Him to answer our prayers?
Amen.
What about you tonight? What did you come here with? Got something on your heart? Got somebody on your heart? You got a trial or a tribulation that you're facing? Is it too big for the Lord? Are you going to bring it before Him? Or are you going to be like the multitude? You know what that multitude did? They just followed Him. They just followed Him. And that's all they did. They just followed Him. But they witnessed something wonderful. They witnessed this woman who had an issue of blood for 12 long years that nobody else could heal. And she was getting worse and worse and worse. And they saw the Lord heal her of that condition. And they saw a man who came and fell upon the ground before the Lord's feet and besought the Lord on his daughter's behalf. And even at the time that the Lord was taking time to care for this woman, another came from Jairus' house and said, "Don't bother him anymore. Don't trouble the master anymore. She's dead. It's too late. There's nothing else that can be done. Trouble the master no longer." And what did Jesus tell him? "Fear not. Only believe." You see, folks, it's like this. We can come to the house of God. We can anticipate being in the presence of God. We can await being in the presence of God just like this multitude was. And we can go through the routines. We can go through the rituals. And you know what you can do? You can get up tonight. You can walk out those doors. And you can go back home and not bring whatever it is that's troubling you, bothering you, ailing you, breaking your heart, whatever it might be. It might be physical, it might be emotional, it might be spiritual. I mean, we sat there and said, "Yes, I believe that God is a big God, and I believe that God is well able to do all things." And why aren't we praying like we ought to be praying? What if that school shooting was right down here at Burnside Elementary? I have to probably assume that altar would be full. What if that shooting that took place in Laurel County was your neighbor, or your family, or your friend? I believe we'd be at that altar beseeching the Lord. Listen, folks, this isn't an altar calling message, but what I'm trying to get the point across to you is simply this. If we're not willing to come to the Lord, and we're not willing to bring our trials and our tribulations and everything that bothers us in our lives, and we're not willing to bring it to the Lord, then we should not expect the Lord to do anything about it.
Right, that's good.
I go to church after church after church after church, and I listen to prayer request after prayer request after prayer request. And I listen to the preacher preach. And I listen to the message of God be delivered. And at the time of invitation, there's no tears in the eye. There's no one upon the altar. There's no one beseeching the Lord and crying out to the Lord and say, "God, here's my problems and here's my trials and here's my heartache. And God, here it is. And I know that you can heal it. And I know that you can take care of it. And I know that you can mend it. And I know that you can fix it. And I'm going to bring it to you." There was only two in a multitude. So my question is this. Then we're going to have a song of invitation. Are you going to be one of the two? Or are you going to be one of the multitude? That decision is yours tonight. Song leader, come. Musician, come. Let's all stand tonight. We're going to prepare for a song of invitation. You got something you need to bring before the Lord tonight? You bring it to Him. And you just give it to the Lord.